shrimp cocktail. Sounds good. I'm in. Shrimp cocktail.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's
nothing special.
It's good. No, it's good. I
like
it.
You can't. Here's the problem.
You know, but guys, the cocktail sauce is really spicy. Yeah, a little bit.
Here's the problem.
A little bit.
You can't hype it up that way.
Yeah.
Like that's the place you have to go, and then you go there, and that's it.
It's either that or this is where Hoosiers actually took place. Okay. Those are your two options in Indiana.
Did I see this as well over the weekend? Because as you talk about Morales putting up, posting his birthday goes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw who posted something about a Kirkland sweater.
Yeah, I don't remember who sent it, but somebody said, see, people know that I've got a pretty decent collection of Kirkland shirts in my rotation.
Okay.
And so it was a hoodie, a unisex hoodie, which means for anybody, right? But it's not just like a black hoodie or a gray hoodie or a white hoodie. It's a hoodie, but in the front, it has the giant Kirkland logo, like Nike or Under Armour or something like that, only it's Kirkland.
And you responded that, no surprise to anybody, I would rock that.
Sure.
You know, you'd wear it.
Yeah.
It's a little surprise to me.
No, I don't really care about that stuff too much. I'd wear it. You're not going to go Kirkland sweatshirt when you come into the office one day?
No, I'm not. I'm not. If I got to go, if you want me to represent a brand, I'll rock Sprouts. Let me get a Sprouts in there.
You want the health food store.
I'll go Sprouts. Kirkland, by the way, Costco is amazing.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I need a sweater that's the title Kirkland on it.
Here's the problem with your Sprouts call.
Mm-hmm.
Like I go there, it's fine. If you're looking for something specific,
is it going to come off like yuppie?
No. It's sometimes it's the only place that I'm near and fine. I need a section with normal things. I need a section that has Coca-Cola and Doritos. Just one little shelf in the back of the store. I understand that's not what you're about,
yeah,
but I'm in a hurry. I just need to get my Coke and Doritos. Can you just put that on the bottom shelf?
I'm going
to
get
back?
You an AMPM shirt. That's what I'm going
to
get you.
Perfect. That's far more my speed. You ready for a late addition to Ask Slee?
Sure.
Francis in Glendale. You
okay.
Know where this is headed. I was, let's see here. Does Carson Wentz look like someone tried to draw Max Scherzer with their left hand? And the answer is yes.
Absolutely.
You see how brilliant that is?
That is really, really smart.
He looks like Scherzer with a scraggly. He's got the Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons beard on Max Scherzer's left-handed drawn face. That's it.
Sometimes I need a second to really think about what he's talking about. That's a pretty good one. But you probably don't want to mention Carson and Scherzer in the same sentence.
So let's stick with Carson really quick here, because this was another moment that made me think. And you were going to see it tonight on Monday Night Football. It's the Lions and the Packers tonight on Monday Night Football. You're going to get to see Jared Goff all over again. How many different times watching the Rams game yesterday, Aaron Donald breathing down his neck, Sebastian Joseph Day breathing down his neck, Leonard Floyd just about to get him, that there's that step up in the pocket or that little shift, which is fine, you know, extend the play for another half a second, but it's the half a second after that where Carson Wentz is still running around trying to make something happen. You knew it was just a matter of time until he got hurt, and sure enough, he did. Aaron Donald tackles him. He gets his foot caught in a weird position, twists his ankle, looked pretty bad, by the way. Get on the ground. Jared Goff never understood. Get on the ground. The play's over. Play for the next play. Matt Stafford again yesterday, and this is why I'm so excited about him. He understands when the play's over. He understands when it's time to throw it away. He understands, hey, it's a sack, whatever. Now we're second and 16 is better than me breaking my leg. Carson Wentz doesn't get that. Jared Goff never got that, and this is why I'm so bullish on the Rams right now, because each game you see another example of the things that he does that their previous guy didn't.
In football, there's a very – actually in sports in general, right? There's a very hero is not the right word, but you're trying to – let me tough this one out.
Save the play.
I'm going to save the play. You know what? I'm going to dive, and I don't care if whoever hits me. I'm going to – this is – I want to show to everybody else how dedicated and determined I am to winning this game. It's just not smart. That's what it comes down to.
You know who doesn't do that?
Intelligent.
Tom Brady. Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes. That when it's over, it's over. You know, Mahomes will try to throw a crazy pass every once in a while, but he's not going to let you hit him.
Did one yesterday, and he even said it was stupid.
And it was. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about getting hit. I'm not talking about making – look, Matt Stafford made a really bad throw yesterday over the middle of the field on his heels. It was a bad interception, but okay. It's an interception. It's going to happen. I'm talking about, why am I letting the other team's best player, Aaron Donald, put his hands on Carson Wentz to the point where his leg nearly comes off? That was entirely avoidable.
What you're saying is Carson Wentz leaves the game with that ankle injury.
This game is over.
Keeps himself in the game. Maybe they have a chance to actually drive down Jalen Ramsey. Doesn't get that pick. You're right about that.
Tell me that you didn't feel a certain way when you saw Jacob Eason warming up on this. It's like, oh, this is a Rams don't need to score a touchdown. That all they need to do is kick this field goal, and this game is over. And I wonder, and I'll ask the Rams fans this, Matthew Stafford, better than expected or about what you thought he was going to be? 877-710-ESPN.
And a playoff of that, too, Rams over the first two games. Are you impressed? You said this, you know, earlier we were talking about the Rams. You said that you were impressed with the Rams. You thought, you know, being 2-0, these two games, you had to walk in on the road. You took care of business in Chicago, where I'm more of, no, this is actually, isn't this exactly what they're supposed to do? I'm not that impressed. What I'll be impressed with and what I'm more curious to see is how these next three goes. Do you go 2-1 over these next three games? Do you go 1-2? Do you go 3-0? Like, there's a curiosity to these next three games.
If they get out of this next three games, so 2-1, you're feeling fantastic. Pretty good about it. And it almost doesn't matter where the one comes. It matters a little bit what it looks like, but I don't think it matters where it happens. You get out 3-0, you know, lock the door, man. This thing, it's off to the races. I think that's – look at the rest of the teams that are 2-0. I don't know – the Bears aren't great, but you saw that they looked a lot better against Cincinnati than they did against the Rams. I think that's a credit to the Rams. You look at Indianapolis yesterday. They're not a bad team. I don't think they're a great team, but the Rams won a game on the road against a halfway decent team despite making a handful of mistakes. Those are two pretty good wins. It's not Tampa. I'm with you on that. But those are good wins, Al. I'm just not saying, okay, they won the two they're supposed to win. I think those are good wins for them.
Good wins, and they'll have to be a lot better, too. Like, I think there's that part of it, too. If you just, okay, special teams has got to be better. There's certain things that you know they'll improve on as a season progresses.
You know who might have the best two wins of the season, honestly? You
know, the Raiders.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Damn right. Yeah. Yeah, against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. They, you know, talk about getting a little bit lucky. They did, but so what? They won. And they went into Pittsburgh, and I don't think Pittsburgh's great this year, but Pittsburgh's never bad. They're never a bad football team, and they went in there, and they won that game pretty convincingly.
So we're doing our picks on Thursday. One of the games that we had was Raiders and the Steelers, and we both felt the same way. Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers with the points. I think we didn't have that much confidence in the Raiders, especially going into Pittsburgh. You look at their two wins, they got a win against the Baltimore Ravens. They got to win against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are two solid wins. What's that smirk of your face for?
Well, you just mentioned the picks.
Yeah.
Now, since you brought it up, now would be a good time to do it. Would you like to do the picks, or would you like to do the stat hero of the day?
Let's go a stat hero of the day.
All right. Well, in that case, it's Derek Carr. He had 12.5 yards per attempt yesterday, threw for 199 man coverage against the Steelers. He was really good. When he got hurt, what went through your mind when he got hurt and he's sitting there? You're like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt that way about Derek Carr before in the last couple of seasons under the John Gruden era? Go back a few years ago when he was an MVP candidate, for sure. This is the first time in the John Gruden era where you saw Derek Carr go down. You're like, uh-oh, Raiders might have some problems if Derek Carr is not ready to go. I think that speaks to how well he's played.
I was going to say, and this is coming from the guy that said, no, I'm not picking the Raiders. Why? Because they couldn't find their kicker in the Monday Night Football game, right? We were just kind of joking around about that. That was the conversation. It was kind of comical in a sense. Still impressive they got these first two wins.
You buying them?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And because I think we're on the same page. Is it John Gruden? Is that why you're not buying it?
I don't know if it's just John Gruden. I just think that ultimately things average out in the NFL. You can have a couple teams get off to a good start. I don't know how many teams, but yeah, often it is. Teams will start the season off 3-0 and they won't make the playoffs. That's not uncommon. It happens in the NFL. And I'm not saying the Raiders are going to collapse, but they're going to have some tough games against the Chargers. They'll have some tough games against the Broncos, tough games against the Chiefs. They're going to play an AFC West team division that's still going to be tough.
You mentioned the Chargers, and I can't help but think about what happened to UCLA this week. You know, the UCLA does what they do. So do the Chargers, man. It just the Chargers get a nice little win on the road against the football team, and they played well. And Justin Herbert's the real deal. And you watch it yesterday, and it was just so wonderfully classically Chargers because, A, there were 50,000 Cowboy fans at SoFi Stadium yesterday. B, they lose on a kick, a bomb kick by Greg Zuerlein. It just the Chargers will always be the Chargers like the Bruins are the Bruins.
Okay, so first of all, another stat for the stat hero of the day is the what percentage of Cowboy fans were at the stadium.
Don't be hyperbolic. Honestly, what do you think it was? Was it 65% Cowboy fans? 70?
Impossible it was under 60%.
Yeah,
impossible that it was under 60%.
Was it 70? It might have been.
Let's just say it was 65%. Okay. By the way, Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa show, Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. If it was 70%, let's say it was 65, I think there was an actual stat out there. Wasn't there, Emily?
50-something percent from
55%. Okay. So this is the schedule you got coming up for the Chargers. and I point this out because this is an honest question of what, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, this is because they were at Dignity Health. Or, oh, this is because, you know, the Chargers, they need a couple years out here. Let me ask you this. The Raiders come to town on a Monday night game on October 4th. What's that stadium going to look like? What's SoFi going to look like?
Silver and black.
Probably 70%?
Yeah, at
65?
Least.
65? Okay.
At least. The Raiders are still wildly popular here.
Throw out a couple more here.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns.
They travel like crazy.
Damn right they do.
Yeah.
Especially if they're good.
Yep.
The Patriots come to town October 31st.
Of course.
The Vikings, which is actually a funny one. Rams played the Vikings a couple years ago.
On a Thursday night.
Thursday night game.
It was a Thursday night game at the Coliseum, and there was a very healthy contingent of Viking fans.
I think Mike Trudell had a flag there leading the team out. Okay?
Steelers, forget about it.
Steelers. Okay. The Giants, the Chiefs,
yeah.
The Broncos, you're going to get a lot of this during Charger games.
And the Charger players are going to have to keep answering questions like this.
Whether it's Cowboys fans or Chargers fans, it was a good environment out there.
I don't know. It was a lot of screens for both sides.
I didn't hear them very much. I heard our fans.
It's always great to have fans back.
Okay.
That's my favorite one. did you hear a lot of the Cowboy contingency? It's so good to have fans back.
Here's the head coach, Brandon Staley.
I didn't hear them very much. I heard our fans, and I was proud of the energy in that stadium for us. I felt like we appreciated it. I felt like it allowed us to play better, and hopefully it'll be a big edge for us moving forward, having a home crowd like that.
I mean,
had the ball third down, it was really loud for some reason, but other than that.
Did you hear the roar when Zuerlein's kick went through the uprights? It sounded like somebody just won the Super Bowl. And it was week two on the road, and the home team lost. Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We were talking about it on Friday, right? Yeah. We were talking about who's going to be the next USC coach. And there are some must-lie situations. When somebody says to Luke Fickell, hey, are you going to be the head coach at USC? You double talk, and you don't really answer the question. You deflect.
You dance a little.
I get it. Mm-hmm. But when everybody's got eyes and ears and can see what happens. Because I didn't really notice. Come on, man.
Okay, if he would have said, let me just use as an example, if he would have said something, Cowboys, certainly it's one of the most popular franchises in sports, so we know this happens. We know they travel well. Hopefully the next game we get our Chargers contingency
better.
That really comes out.
That's
is that
better.
What you're supposed to say?
I think what it is, look, yes, there are a lot of Cowboys fans there. It's our job to make sure that this place is filled with Charger fans. It's our job to put a product on the field that this city's going to get behind, that we're going to get excited about, to develop our own identity, to make sure that that doesn't happen moving forward.
I got another one. You know what else you could have said? You know, we can't control that. We have no control over that. But I tell you what we can't control. We can control making sure whoever's here is quiet and the only fans you hear are Charger fans.
Yeah, no, that's not what happened.
That's not going to happen either.
It's just a perfect example of Spanos is just kind of not understanding what they were walking into. I get it. They play at SoFi. The valuation of the franchise goes through the roof.
Yeah.
I get the upside.
Yeah.
But you know, the downside is that every week, like at Dignity Health, just like at SoFi, it's going to be, guys, is this embarrassing to you? And they got to answer questions like this.
Whether it's Cowboys fans or Chargers fans, it was a good environment out there.
I don't know. It was a lot of screens for both sides.
I didn't hear them very much. I heard our fans.
It's always great to have fans back.
I mean, the topic isn't even, hey, you lost to the Cowboys, you're 1-1, what happens next? It's, hey, what's up with your fans? Every week?
Do you think Kroenke sends Spanos... Do you think he sends him his Venmo barcode and says, hey, it's the first of the month?
It's at Stan Kroenke 64.
Get that check in the mail.
Oh, no, he needs direct deposit. No checks.
Why do I, for everything is still a check in the mail?
Why not? You still haven't brought up the picks, Al. and who won the picks.
We should move on. You know, we should talk basketball. You want to go NBA?
No.
A lot of good, juicy stuff right now in the NBA.
We're not going to do the NBA. We will do the picks, and we do need to figure out exactly what the Dodgers are going to do moving forward in the outfield. They got too many guys, enough spots. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You were on the road this week. Did you eat right? Did you find anything good? Or did you just kind of boiled chicken it up?
Mount Rainier. So there's a great, great place that does their, what's the berry? Huckleberry?
It's Huckleberry.
Yeah, Huckleberry. Yeah. So they do a Huckleberry pie.
That sounds good.
Come on, bro. Ridiculous. Make them every 45 minutes.
Is there any sort of pie that's like, nah, it's not very good? All pies are good.
It's not
especially
that,
fruit pies.
It's not that they're not good, but they're not as good.
Yeah, no, there are degrees, but it's like pizza, right? Even bad pizza is like, yeah, I'll eat that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sending that back at any
hot
point.
Hot take in here. Taylor does not like any pies.
All right.
Uh-oh. I'm just not a pie guy. I don't know. The crust?
Crust is great. Crust is great. You don't like the crust.
I love
that's
fruit.
The best bite.
You
that's
know
the
what?
Best bite is at today's, the end.
I need to redo my power rankings on the Travis and Sliwa show. Taylor just dropped dramatically with his bad pie observations.
Taylor, you'll never drop further than me. Don't worry. You'll never drop further than me.
Yeah, pie I can tolerate, though, is key lime. I'll do that.
Okay, see, he bounces right back.
Yeah,
this is like, see, he's the opposite of UCLA. He has a bad loss, but then he very quickly rebounds with naming the very best pie there is. He
UCLA right hasn't had a chance to bounce back from a bad loss.
No,
can
but they're the opposite. UCLA gets the win. It's like, this is different. This is different. Guys, we beat you. We beat LSU. We're back. Mm-hmm. Chip Kelly, man. Year three of the Chip Kelly thing. We got this win. No, DTR, man. Yeah, guys, you're going to lose this weekend. What do you mean? This team's different. What do you mean? We got it all. Guys,
is that
you've been losing this game for 40 years. You're going to lose. What happened?
Okay, real quick.
They lost.
Who was that?
That's UCLA fans.
Sound like a frat brother.
Well, yeah, they've got those.
19-year-old frat brother that's...
Because older UCLA fans realize that, I know what's coming tonight. Mm-hmm. I know what's coming. This is what we do. This is how it goes.
The young ones don't have the experience.
They don't have it. No, dude. Jim Kelly's different, bro. No, he's not.
No, I'll fight you. Why would you fight me?
Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Covina and Eric. Eric, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, E?
Well, guys, tell you what. Sunday, you know, when our LA Rams fell behind in the fourth quarter, for the first time in a few years, I was not nervous. I was pretty feeling good. I said, it's okay. Stafford's at the helm. He's looking good. And let alone, he took them right down the field, and they scored. Guys, even after the muff punt, you know, when they scored in the end zone, I mean, I wasn't nervous. I was still, hey, no problem. We're going to come down the field. I mean, he looks so good in the pocket, the way he can move in the pocket, gets around, gives himself some extra time. Yeah, we saw videos when he was when the deal was made, but now he did it Sunday. You know, I expect to win every game. I expect going into the Bucs. We beat them last year with golf. I expect them when they come back, the Bucs are going to have their hands full. I'm just confident, guys. I'm confident in this team. I'm confident in the offense. And they haven't even used all their weapons yet. I mean, we haven't seen a lot from DeSean Jackson yet. I mean, and Atwell, I mean, gosh, he has so many weapons at his disposal. He just hasn't used them all. So, you know, I'm pretty excited, guys.
Eric, I think you bring up a really good point. Thanks for the call. the excitement factor is real. Because like you said, even after the Rams had that disaster in the end zone with the punt where Nick Scott, you know, the ball, the snap hits him in the hip and it goes sideways. And you had that moment like, what the hell was that? How did that happen? That the Rams, for a long time, their identity was their special teams. Now, that's been different the last couple of years, but it was sloppy. It was something you do not expect from a Sean McVay team. But at the same time, it's like, all right, we're okay. That was bad. That was ugly, but they're going to be okay. Matt Stafford, boom, right down there, touchdown, take the lead right back. And that's not the feeling as before. Before it was, okay, let's see. Now, look, Matt, the Rams are not going to win every game, but they're not going to lose a handful of games because the quarterback does the same thing in those handful of games. Mm-hmm. There might be a game where the Rams lose because Matt Stafford throws a bad interception. That's
it's going to happen.
Not only possible, but likely. It's just that's the sport. But it's not going to happen six times. It's not going to happen the same way all six times, and that's the biggest difference. It's that confidence of knowing this guy's been there. He threw a bad interception early in the game yesterday. He came back and was just throwing darts the rest of the way. That's the difference.
Well, it's interesting that Eric mentions even when they go down, his feeling is different than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key because you started off the show. That's one of the main things that you brought up. You said that, listen, ultimately, I know I have confidence that Matt Stafford can drive down the field and get that field goal when you need it, or that fourth, or the, I think it was early in the fourth quarter, where he threw a touchdown pass. So I say that because if your feeling on Matt Stafford is that right now and that you feel good, I'm still going to kind of, it's not a hesitation on Matt Stafford. It's just the squad. Just play better teams. You're going to make mistakes against the Colts that if you do that against a good team, you probably don't win that game. You can't give up a touchdown because you can't punt the ball or have a miscue with a punt. So that's the only thing that I hesitate on.
I got one for Rams fans. I got one for you because I asked Kirk this, and he looked at me like I had horns growing out of my face. Is Cooper Kupp on the short list of – I'm not saying he's the best wide receiver in the NFL, but is he in the conversation – is he in the conversation with DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams and guys like that? Is he in that mix? Because numbers-wise, he is. He's putting up numbers as well as everybody. He's not making, you know, circus catches like some of these other guys, but I'll tell you what, the way that he's looked through the first two games, and defenses are going to start to key on him, so I think the numbers will come down a little bit. But my God, that guy's wide open two or three times a game, not just catching balls, but wide open.
It's interesting. They had a quote. Cooper Kupp had a quote. And, you know, obviously he's balling out. Like, if you want numbers, yesterday he caught nine passes, 163 yards, two touchdowns. Week one, 108 yards, a touchdown in week one against the Bears. So he's almost compiled 300 yards in the first two games, and he also has three touchdowns total. But he had said something that he doesn't feel like they're doing anything special. He said they're taking what the defense gives them. So to answer your question, yeah, they're going to be adjustments. If a guy is having that much success over the first two games, Tampa's going to do something a little bit different. They're going to say, okay, well, use some of your other targets. But he's been an absolute baller.
DeSean Jackson did not catch a pass yesterday. We really haven't seen Tutu out well at all. And then you have the Sony Michel piece yesterday. Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear. With every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear more driven. Darrell Henderson, look, all right, I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay.
Darrell Henderson is that guy that's a really good player, but you need to have a plan B before you even implement plan A. He's going to get hurt. This is his third year in the league. This is the third time that very early in the season he's gone down with an injury.
Rib injury yesterday. This is
the way that it is, and it's nobody's fault. It's just it is what it is.
It's a brutal position, and it happens. Yep.
This is why Sony Michel was so important. He looked good yesterday. He came in and had a couple of really hard runs. Now, clearly, they have a long way to go because on passing downs, he wasn't even on the field. They put Jake Funk in, who's, you know, a seventh-round rookie player. He's not a guy that is going to hand the – you're not going to – put it to you this way. On that third and two where they tried to run the end around with Kupp, you knew Jake Funk wasn't getting that ball. And you knew that with Sony Michel not in there, they were either going to pass or hand it to Cooper Kupp going by, and it was a terrible play. Sean McVay said after that was a terrible play call by me. I need to do better. You figure out how to get Sony Michel in that game and block a little bit, and all of a sudden you have a two-way go with him. That's another layer that really hasn't been implemented yet that's going to come, whether it's Jackson, whether it's Michel, whether it's Higbee, the tight end. There's still a lot of meat on that bone.
Do they go out and get another running back?
I think they probably should because Darrell Henderson is a good player, but I mean, what are you going to have him for? 8 games, 9 games, 10? Mm-hmm. Not 17.
Yeah, it's a good point because from a depth perspective, okay, if he's out, he's got the rib injury. So now you're putting so much on Sony Michel. If your defense is two, you start predicating and kind of saying, all right, let's just put as much – let's let them run. Well, if we're going to take our chances with Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and some of these other offensive weapons, let's try to load up the box and make them run.
Dodgers win yesterday. They take care of it. 2-3 in Cincinnati. Your guy, Walker Buehler, who you now think should be sent to A-ball to rework his stuff. That's my exact quote.
Yeah, that was my exact quote.
He was the guy that didn't win. Scherzer was great. Kershaw was really good yesterday. Off day today. Then they start 3 in Colorado. And look, this is what you do. They massage the rotation a little bit. So yesterday, Kershaw started, looked pretty good, and then they slid Gonsolin in the backside. Instead of going off day today and then Gonsolin open up the series in Colorado, they said, we're going to skip Gonsolin. We'll have him pitch out of the pen. We're going to give you Urias, Buehler, and Scherzer all over again. I think that's a really good decision. 12 games left, one game back. You can't mess around with Tony Gonsolin anymore.
That's why, you know, that tells you everything of what Dave Roberts and the Dodgers think of these final 12 games. You know, it says everything right there. We're going to throw our best, our absolute best, even though it's against the Rockies. You pretty much got to take all three from the Rockies.
Oh, for sure. And the Rockies are not a bad team at home. They're a terrible team on the road, but they won 2 of 3 at Dodger Stadium, what, a month or so ago, 3 weeks ago? So they can beat the Dodgers.
12 games left. How many do you have to win? 12 games left.
11.
No, not 11.
I think so. Because, look, there's 12 games left for the Giants, too,
okay,
right?
So Giants win 9.
You need to win 11.
You have
11.
To win 10.
No, you have to win 11. 10 would tie.
Yeah, 10 would, 10
yeah.
would tie.
10 would
so
tie.
You're saying outright win the division.
You have to win 11 because that means San Francisco goes 9-3. Okay, so for every game you go down, if you want to go down to 10, now the Giants need to go 8-4. Okay, if you want to go down to 9, that's what the math is really tight right now.
You know, it's kind of fascinating here. And we kind of saw this over the weekend, all right? So as much of the conversation about the Dodgers and the Giants is who's going to slide into that wild card spot.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I mentioned to you, telling you on Friday, I'm like, Trav, this is going to be a good weekend, interesting weekend here. It's the Cardinals and the Padres. Cardinals and the Padres going into the weekend, St. Louis might have had a half-game lead, something along those lines. So St. Louis sweeps the San Diego Padres. Padres are all but...
They're out of the mix now.
And then you saw that toss up between Machado and Tatis. And
kind of liked that, by the way.
You liked it. Explain to me.
I liked it because Manny Machado, who was the guy that would have been on a receiving end of that situation, was the guy on the delivering end. That he's the veteran player now, and he's right. That look, Tatis is probably the best player on that team. He might win the National League Most Valuable Player award right now. But, dude, you can't be pouting and sulking every time a call doesn't go your way. It affects you. If you're the best player on the team and you're in a certain way, it's going to permeate the entire squad. And Machado is basically saying, dude, pull your head out of your you-know-what.
We
need you.
And he said, it's not about you.
It's not about you. It's about us. And he wasn't going to let it go. He chewed on him pretty good. I liked it from Machado.
So, by the way, what that means, the manager gets thrown out. So you're saying how it's not about you, as in Machado's point to – we're losing our manager here. We're losing, the vibe is going to be different. We're losing some of these games. And the last thing we have, and that game was, I think they lost 3-2. They gave up a late 2-run homer. It just, everything that could go wrong with the Padres, which I want to mention this when we come back, so we'll get a chance to do this here. With the Dodgers, you've heard, if you remember the power rankings, remember the power rankings that we had before the season started?
Uh-huh.
It was Dodgers, it was Yankees, it was Padres, you had all these teams. There's the squad that's been the most consistent, and two squads that you thought would be in the mix will actually do that at 11:45. 11:45 will do it. We got Factor Cap coming up next.
Tickets over $1 million. That one's gonna stick around with you for a while. I'm just saying that was a bad.
Go to Rams Bucks this weekend.
Or $1 million. Look, Rams Bucks is awesome. I'm gonna be there. Pre-game show starts at 11:30.
Yeah.
We're gonna be right out in front by the lake, right in front of the stadium. If you want to swing by and say what's up, me and Kirk will be out there. You could do that. But if you said that or $1 million, I'm gonna take the $1 million.
Well, here's the thing. Step one is the Rams Bucks tickets.
We get that no matter what.
That's step one.
Uh-huh.
Not no matter what. I mean, people have to. They have to win
the contest.
Yes,
you get to go to the game.
Right. That's step one.
Okay.
Step two is you got to guess.
It's a hard guess.
It's a tough guess.
Hey, it's worth a shot.
If you do it, then you get $1 million. So I'm excited right now about the Rams Bucks game.
Fair enough. Let's do what I'm excited about: fact or cap.
After Urban Meyer has gone 0-2 in his opening, time as an NFL coach,
yeah.
You can trust anyone more than you would trust Urban Meyer. Travis, is this fact or cap?
I think that's cap because there are people I would trust less than Urban Meyer for some things. But when it comes to, he's a good football coach. I don't think it's going to work out in the NFL because people have already decided that they want him to fail. And then the sharks are circling and there's blood in the water. He's a really good football coach. I wouldn't trust him if he told me tomorrow was Tuesday. I'd check a calendar. I wouldn't trust him if he told me that, you know, my wife loves me. I would double check that. Like, there's nothing that could come out of his mouth that I would trust. But when it comes to coaching football, he's all right. He's just not an NFL coach. He's a college coach.
Okay, I'm going to go cap here, but I'm a little confused because if I understand correctly, we're 2 weeks in to the NFL schedule.
Yes.
If I understand correctly, Urban Meyer's coached two NFL games.
Lost them both.
And if I understand correctly, Jacksonville does not exactly have the expectations as another market does when it comes to football.
Fair.
Okay. With all that being said, why is he continuing to get questions as if his job is on the line?
Well, I think it might be.
That he has disappointed the Jacksonville fan base, which is got such high standards, that he got outcoached once again, two games in. What am I missing on this? Am I missing something?
I don't think you're missing anything. I think you're leaving something out. He lies all the time. So when he says something, nobody believes him. And because he's been so slippery through almost his entire coaching career, people have certain feelings about him. Think about when Steve Spurrier went to the Washington football team.
Okay.
Right? Because Steve Spurrier was so successful in college and so arrogant about his success, and when he came into the NFL, it's like, I don't know why everybody's sleeping in their office. I'm going to practice and I'm going to go play nine holes afterwards. When he started to get his ass kicked, people started to say, see, told you.
But do you think he's doing that?
I don't think he's doing that, but people don't like him because of the line. People don't like him because of the way he conducts his business. So there's a little blood in the water. So if there's a chance to try to pick him off, they're going to take it.
If you're 1-12, 13 games in, and nothing looks like it's going well, and you actually have, you know, more material to go after Urban Meyer rather than 2 weeks in, you're already getting questions saying, were you out coached? Because the players said they have the talent, but is it because of the coaching staff? Are you not doing your job? Like that 2 weeks in?
Part of it is, I think the Jacksonville people in particular, they're worried he might bounce. So they're trying to hedge their bets a little bit. If you knew that he was going to be there for three or four seasons, no matter what, he's going to see this out.
Can the guy have a second to figure this out?
Then you give him a second to figure it out. But I think that everybody understands that if this goes as bad as you say it might, let's say they go 3-14.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He may say, peace out. I'm going to go to SC or some other college. I don't need this. I think that's why the tone is what it is in conjunction with all the dishonesty.
All right, so Brandon Staley, we played a little bit earlier. Brandon Staley said this after his press conference yesterday. So Brandon Staley is deaf. Alan, is his factor cap?
It's cap. I think he's choosing what he wants to hear and what he doesn't want to hear. Here's the reality, Trav. We're going to have this. And it's going to be what the Chargers are just going to have to deal with in the city of Los Angeles. By the way, somebody who's from San Diego, there were also many Charger games at Qualcomm Stadium. Raiders came to town, sure. And if the Chargers weren't good, Raiders were going to dominate that stadium,
right?
Simply because of the location. People are coming for the weekend. It's a fantastic city. This is a brand new stadium, SoFi Stadium, $5 billion. People are coming out. The difference in L.A., he actually had a fan base in San Diego. I genuinely don't think they have one here in L.A., at least something that—
Certainly nothing like that in San Diego.
Nothing that's, at this point, something that you can actually talk about. So I think he's going to try to make this dance in a certain way, but if you thought yesterday walking away from that Cowboys-Chargers game that the Cowboys did not have 65-70% of the fans, I think you're denying yourself truth.
Yeah, I think it's cap. Look, maybe he had some Metallica or Pantera or something going on in his headset, and he couldn't hear what else was happening in the stadium, but his eyes were certainly working.
He had Sade on.
It would be a better explanation than anything else. No, look, he's a football coach, and I'm sure that it's a little bit embarrassing that you're playing a home game in this spectacular new venue. And nobody's there, really. I shouldn't say nobody, but less than half the people there are there to see you and your team. And it's embarrassing, and he didn't want to admit it. I just think it's that's all it is. There's no other way to go about it. If you lean into it, it looks bad. If you pretend it's not happening, it looks bad. Win games, and that'll take care of at least part of it.
Is there something here that I don't know about? Drew in L.A. is hitting us with a factor cap. Is this what's going to happen?
Bring it on. What is
people are going to start suggesting their own factor cap?
This is a very interactive program. Whoever has one, send it along.
Vent fans in bathrooms don't do anything.
Oh, well. I mean, are we really going there? We're really going to talk about this?
It's just a noise. It's just
it's suction.
Noise.
It's circulating the air. Some of that air you'd prefer not be there,
but
so you'd like it to be out.
What he's claiming is it doesn't do anything. It's just
all right.
It's for show.
Look, I would just ask that if you come to my home, we flip that switch.
If you ever got a factor cap, hit us up. Myself, Travis, or Emily, we'll read it on the air. Go ahead, Emily.
All right, we got the last one. And wings are the best game day food. Travis, is this factor cap?
Where am I? Am I at the stadium? Am I at a bar? Am I at home? Where am I?
In your home.
In my home? Ooh, that's near the top of the list. No, not at home.
Don't pick mine.
The answer at home is, and we're almost there, Slee. We're almost there. It's still a little warm, but in another month or so, the correct answer is chili. That's the answer, because you can put it on just about everything. Put it on a burger, a dog, tortilla chips. You can make Frito pie. Chili's the right answer, but wings might be a close second.
Okay, I'll go cap on this. Wings are fantastic.
They're great.
I mean, don't get me wrong here. Takedown, it's arguably one of the best.
Jolene's wings.
Chips and guacamole for me. Throw a little salsa on there as well.
Though, right? No, that's great. Don't get me wrong. I want to eat that, but that's like a snack. That's like a warm-up. That's like batting practice.
Yeah, but game day food. But aren't wings as well? Wings, that's not a meal.
Well, so the place that I like to go, they're one of the places that here, they serve them on a pizza pan. Right, you know, like the thing.
So there's
more than a dozen. It's you order them by the dozen. How many dozens of these would you like? Just throwing that out there.
So you're using it as a full meal.
Yeah, well, it could be both. It's like a utility player.
In a perfect world for me, you got a plate, you got some wings, you got some chips, you got some guacamole.
Sure, that sounds great.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at you. Yeah. But we could have wings bat lead off, and then we could go into burgers and dogs or pizza or something else, or we could just keep the wings coming, and then we got a meal too. We got it covered either way.
Gavin Lux right now could be the wings.
Oh, my goodness, right? Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Glad you brought that up, Al, because what we thought was going to be a problem maybe isn't a problem, or it's going to be a problem for a totally different reason. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Someone is correcting us, saying that Carson Wentz doesn't look like Max Scherzer if you drew him with your left hand, but rather that Carson Wentz looks like Prince Harry. That, according to Brett Shepard. He's got a little Prince Harry vibe going on there. They get redheads.
We're getting a lot of tweets about Carson Wentz and just what he looks like. Nothing about his playing ability.
Most importantly, let's talk about what everybody looks like. Let's really break that down. Let's not worry about the fact that Aaron Donald nearly tore his foot off when he tackled him, but rather, which member of the royal family does he look like? Those seem to be important topics.
Okay, I got another tweet here.
All right.
So we got one guy coming after us here. He says, you guys need your own opinion. The Chargers game was popping with both fans just like every stadium in the world. Yesterday was the first time I could actually say as a Charger fan that it was pretty damn close to being equal Rams homers per usual.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I wasn't at the game, so I can't give you an indication.
Are we really arguing on behalf of Charger fans that, hey, we almost had as many as the visiting team? Is that really the line that you want to fight?
I don't.
Hey, guys. You know, you guys are just being homers. We had nearly as many fans as the team that came from out of town. Really? This is what you're going with?
That's okay. Actually a vast improvement.
Not really.
In a weird way, it kind of is.
No. Look, the Bears had a healthy representation opening night at SoFi. They did. There was a very healthy amount of Bears fans there. It wasn't half. It wasn't a quarter. Mm-hmm. It was not. So if they went, I'm fine. Half. It was only half filled with the other team's fans. Great.
You know what's going to happen if they fall further out of the picture? They're 1-1. I'm just saying, if they're 10 games in and they're sitting at 4-6 or 3-7, that 50% that he's claiming will end up being probably 70%.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I don't know if you remember this or not, okay, but when the Dodgers made the deal for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, do you remember what I said in that moment? Not aside from Trey Turner and Max Scherzer coming over here and how exciting it was to get those two players that are really good players.
I remember how you kept saying, I don't think Dodger fans know how good Trey Turner is and how
true,
good he's going to be.
And I think they figured that part out. But no, it's something that I was dead wrong about. I said to you at the time, I said, well, nice knowing you, Gavin Lux. You're never going to hear from him ever again because Trey Turner's going to go play second base and Justin Turner's going to play third. You got Corey Seager at short. There's no spot for him. Wrong, Travis. There is a spot for him, a spot that I don't think anybody thought that he was going to have to take. That dude, nobody can get him out all of a sudden. He's in left field. Is he the best left fielder in the history of baseball? No. Does he make me nervous every time he's chasing after a ball? Yeah, a little bit. Did he nearly get Cody Bellinger's dental work rearranged? Yeah, he did. Dude is on fire, Slee. He is killing the ball. And at this point, down the stretch, going into the playoffs, hot is the most important thing. He's bought himself a regular spot in this lineup, whether it's in left field or anywhere else. Look, Chris Taylor's back playing center field. He looked pretty good this weekend, had a couple of hits yesterday. A.J. Pollock will come back at some point, hopefully, knocking on wood, that he continues
to
be hot.
Still has that hamstring injury, yep.
But Gavin Lux has to be in there somehow, some way, with the way he's swinging that bat.
So if you and I were having this conversation 2 weeks ago, right, you'd be like, what the hell are we talking about? This is not obviously happening. So Lux kind of came out of nowhere. And I don't know if, Trav, this just has to do with he's got no pressure on him. There's no expectations on him, but he's delivering. You know, like you said, and I don't have the exact numbers what he's done over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, but it seems like every single night he's got a couple base hits, X amount of RBIs. He's getting clutch hits.
He's in for power, too.
Okay, so that conversation that wasn't there before, it was as simple as this. You got Mookie, you got A.J. Pollock, and you got Chris Taylor. Bellinger has to get the short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. I remember you even mentioning, okay, no, you could put Bellinger in. Put him in the seventh inning when you're up a couple runs, and you could just have him in on the defensive side in center field. I think we've had this conversation before. It's the rich getting richer. If Lux is having this type of production, tell me how Bellinger finds his way in a lineup over the next 12 games. I know he's out right now, but if he does come back and he's healthy, how does he work his way back into the lineup?
Last five games for Gavin Lux, okay, he's had one hit, zero hits, two hits, one hit, three hits. He's had extra base hits in three of those games. He's driven in seven runs. Mm-hmm. He's walked two times. He's only struck out three times. This went from a, hey, what do you do? Do you sacrifice a little bit of defense to add a little offense to, hey, this is a no-brainer? Now the question is, how healthy is A.J. Pollock? How does he get back on it? Because A.J. Pollock is a good outfielder. Yeah, Chris Taylor is a good outfielder. Gavin Lux is not, but that dude is tearing the cover off of it. And look, these things don't last a long time typically.
You want to use it until it's gone.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. We should never see Cody Bellinger swing a bat for the rest of the season. Unless it's some weird 15-inning sort of deal or something that you had to double switch and you're running out of guys. But we need to be done with that. This guy needs to hit. Taylor needs to hit. Pollock needs to hit. We need to be done with Cody Bellinger. And I'm not even doing a deal. It just, we need to be done with that. They've spent most of the season trying to fix it. It's not fixed. Let's move on.
What'd you say on Friday? Dodgers scored one run.
One run on Friday with
Bellinger
him
in the lineup.
They did not play him on Saturday or Sunday.
13 runs.
13 runs. Mm-hmm. Coincidental? What's that line that correlation is not causation? Okay, fine. But that seems interesting to me.
Yeah, but you're also at a point where, you know, we just talked about the pitching rotation. They're not starting Gonsolin. Gonsolin could potentially have started tomorrow. Right?
Yes.
They're not doing that.
They say they're going to do it now that because today is an off day, they decided to skip it and keep Urias and Scherzer and Buehler on turn.
Right. But there's also another reason for that.
They
You're
need
a game
to win
behind
every
the
game.
Giants.
Yeah.
So there is no, you know, when you say the Gavin Lux part of if this guy is producing right now is all that matters. You don't have, not only do you not have time left, you're a game back from the San Francisco Giants, and we already played out the scenarios. They can tie, they could lose, or they can outright win the division, you could still potentially have to play two extra games this year just to get into that five-game set.
What happens? Go to your crystal ball. What happens 12 games from now? The Dodgers are doing what at the end of the at the end of 162? What are they getting ready to
163rd game.
You think they're getting? Yeah, you think it's going to finish? You know what? I think you're right.
I do.
I think you're right. I think that they're going to be one game better than the Giants over the last 12. The first 150, Al, I'm not going to sweat it. We're down to the final 12. And that, so Scherzer, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, but here's the weird thing, and we'll have to look at it. I'll do the pitching thing here in a minute. If you're in it, right? If you're in it down to the wire, and they're going to be in it down to the wire,
right?
You can't set it up. You might just get who you get.
Do they get one day off or what?
Yeah, there's a season ends on a Sunday. I believe that game gets played on a Tuesday. Yes.
No, you can't set it up. But to be honest with you, that's much more difficult for the Giants, much more difficult for every other team out there. The Dodgers, think about how many options that they're going to have. They're going to have those options where other teams will not have. Even if you just pitched, even if Scherzer had to pitch in your 163rd game and you used Buehler the night before, you still got one of those two other guys.
Let's say Scherzer pitches on, or excuse me, the rotation would be Urias on Friday, Buehler on Saturday, Scherzer on Sunday. Those are your three guys in a row. Now you go into the one game with Kershaw. Think about every other team that they're going into it. Your fourth guy in that scenario
is
Kershaw.
Okay, let me ask you. And there's not really ultimate pressure because that 163rd game is not you win or you're out.
No, it's not. But it's win and whoo.
Sure.
All right.
Of course.
Let's take a deep breath. Let's get Max ready to go in game one. Let's get Buehler ready to go in game two. Yeah. You get to real. Now you do get.
Now
to
you get
set
to
it
line
up.
Everything up. What if Kershaw's in that wild card game?
I like it. I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. I love it with Scherzer. I love it with Buehler. I love it with Urias. I like it with Kershaw because he's not stretched out yet. He was fine against the – but you're talking for now all of a sudden, okay, how are we going to get to the ninth inning? How are you going to get to Kenley Jansen, who gave up a bomb last night? The Rams are 2-0. USC looked great. UCLA did what they did. There's going to – basically what I'm getting at, Slee, is I aced the weekend. It's all coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.